The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tastytrade Inc. is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Friday morning and welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm David Faber. Oh, we're over here. I'm just talking to you.
How you been?
I'm okay. You know, Carl has...
Diller was pretty cool, wasn't he?
That's right. Carl has the morning off, by the way. Really? Reading over here? Our roadmap, though, this morning does start with Wall Street's wild week, major averages set to continue to claw back the week's losses, crypto trading stable for a second straight day. Plus the Biden administration. It proposes a global minimum corporate tax that they want to be at least 15%. My audio is on. And Bank of America slashing its Tesla price target by more than 20%, saying more
stock sales could be coming. All right, Jim. We're off to a bit of a technologically tough start here, but you know what?
It makes us stronger.
We're ending a interesting week for the market. I would love your perspective on that. You know, we may actually end up for a week that at certain points certainly didn't look to be a good one for those at least who were long.
Right. I want to be harsh for a second.
Okay.
There's unbridled enthusiasm in the actual purchasing of stocks and unbridled negativity in the commentary about stocks because it's overshadowed by crypto, as if somehow crypto is in charge of the stock market. I think that linkage is going to end soon.
You do?
I think we're going to go back to reaffirm what we heard from companies, whether it be a Home Depot that announces a gigantic buyback yesterday, whether it be a Lowe's that actually reported an amazing quarter, whether it be a Walmart, which had a quarter that was so much better than people thought, Target, which was probably perfect. We got to go back to these big companies and how they did. And we got to get away from the idea that because there was a 30% decline in something that, by the way, Barry Diller called a con, it should somehow call the tune of what we do for a living.
Yeah, it was interesting listening to Diller, who always speaks his mind, saying that in terms of crypto. Why is there going to be a dividing line between the movement of crypto and that of the broader stock market, in your opinion?
I think because of some of the things that we got from Gensler and from the Fed, and I'm sure Yellen's about to weigh in. They, David, addressed something that you and I talked about yesterday, which is the notion of possible systemic risk. By saying, look, we've got to figure out what the hell's going on here. Now, David, there is way too much leverage in the crypto world. And by the way, let's just be clear. The rate that you're getting, if you have your money in some of these less public, darker institutions, is so high that if I were the Fed, I would call them and say, guys, what are you doing?
Yeah, you mentioned that to me yesterday. I was not aware.
Well, you're getting 5%.
Who's paying you that 5%?
One of my guys is doing it.
And what are they doing with your money?
Beats the heck out of me. Now, is that good? If you're Jamie Dimon, don't you just say, you know what? I wish the Fed would make a phone call. Nah, Jamie, it's too small. I don't know. They're not worried. I'm worried about it. I'm worried about it because, David, the younger people who are involved with this, I mean, I keep getting this. I was speaking to J.J. Kinahan yesterday from TD.
Yeah.
This is what they want to talk about, the younger people. This is what they're in.
Mm-hmm.
David, they're not buying a P. Well, now they're going to say, wait a second, Jim. Did you see in Robinhood the main stock is GE and GE just won a big order for aircraft? No, that's not the point. Crypto is, without a doubt, David, it catching what younger people are doing with their capital. Now, Brian Moynihan said last night that there's a great thing happening, which is that there's a lot of saving and a lot of spending, which
right.
is kind of nirvana. But, David, we have got to get away from Bitcoin coin metrics and just have someone like Gensler, who was very critical in 2002 of the mutual fund industry and the brokerage industry. Gensler has to say, look, I don't like, all he has to do is come on. Like, we call him up right now. And we say, Gary, what are you thinking? He goes, you know what? I'm not happy with what's going on. And that's it. And then we're back talking about how Apple's doing with the lawsuit.
Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about AT&T for obvious reasons. We're going to talk about Deere earnings this morning. And anything else you want to talk about stock related?
Materials very important.
That's what we like to do. You know, as for Gensler, Deer. He does have his plate full. You're looking at a picture of him right now.
Oh, well, it's a clean plate. I got a blue plate special
still
for him.
Still dealing with the GameStop
stuff. He should find it.
Still dealing with Archegos and the transparency.
GameStop, well, I thought that was resolved. Ryan Cohen there is coming
total
in.
Total return swaps is a question. Still dealing with whether there's going to be true new regulation around SPACs of some kind in terms of at least the projections. And dealing with crypto. So plenty over there that they have to deal with at the SEC.
All he has to do is say, look, I don't know if you're in a crypto company, and you're getting 5% interest, that may not be sustainable. And boom, then we really unravel. You know, we finally get to the bottom of some of this. By the way, can I just tell you, you want to get back to the old days that
Please,
we were?
Let's do it.
NVIDIA does a 4-for-1 split. Remember that?
Yeah.
They used to do splits, David.
Yeah.
In the early 90s, PepsiCo would split and Coca-Cola would split, and their stocks would jump.
I remember the mid to late 90s when a split would be announced and would be greeted as though it was somehow something positive for the company. And it's not.
Jim. I used to go into the late Mr. Tish, who was...
remember Yahoo did a split or something. Or one went up 30%.
I went in to see him, and I said, I think you should buy Pepsi. And he said, why? I said, well, PepsiCo, every stock that's 90 goes to 100. He said, okay, but why should I buy it? I said, because 90 goes to 100. So he then has me back, and it goes to 100. And he says, what's next with PepsiCo? I said, 100 goes to 120. At the end of it, he said, okay, tell me what to buy. That is this market. That's what we could get going here. NVIDIA jumps 3.9%, David,
on
a 4-for-1 split. Not on a completion of the ARM holding deal.
Right.
Not on the quarter, which is about to happen. Not on the Ethereum chips cards that they're using, but on a 4-for-1 split.
Well, we'll make the stock more affordable, I guess, to buy a share.
You
for
can buy
people.
Fractional shares.
You can now buy
SoFi
fractional shares.
SoFi. Anthony Noto will text you within 90 seconds about that.
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, you got Alphabet at 2,356 and Amazon at 3,247.
They don't seem to be
bothered by the idea of having to split. Apple, of course, did.
Yeah, I know. AT&T tried to do a split.
Yeah, there we go.
They split the dividend.
All right. Well, you know what? Since you mentioned it, let's move on to AT&T.
For you, partner.
It did receive a pair of Wall Street upgrades this morning, in fact.
Yeah.
And we'll get to those.
Oh, that's good.
But last night, Jim did make a different kind of call on the company. Take a listen.
Tonight, we're dusting off something I've rarely used in 16 years of mad money. And it's called the Wall of Shame. Honestly, I should put AT&T's entire board of directors on the wall. But they still have the chance to claw back some of Stevenson's compensation. So let's see what they do.
All right. You're taking Stanky on the wall, too. That's the part I wonder about. Because, you know, Jim, you could certainly make a very cogent argument you have for why Stevenson perhaps deserves that.
Right.
But...
Stanky made bold moves in a short amount of time that he believes are
trying to position the company for a future that he sees.
He made assurances about the dividend. You don't do that. You don't have to do it. You just don't.
That's what you have been very focused on.
Well, because the people
you
who
saw it
own
as a personal AT, affront.
The people who own AT&T, for the largest part, own it for the dividend.
Yeah.
Now, we can go on. I've actually spoken enough. I'm going to rest my case on this one because I'm ready to move on. But I do have a warning to people, David, who are watching the show, CEOs. Don't do that. Don't assure your dividend to me. And then.
Well, I think they've gotten that message.
Well, good.
Now, listen, when you take a look at a 20-year on AT&T, I mean, that tells the overall story. There's a 1 week,
hell.
Which it is down.
How about, yeah, let's.
20-year is a better view.
It's singularly the worst company.
Well,
did
not,
you get that
no,
singular?
Actually,
no, that
I
was
know
a joke.
One that's.
That was a singular.
Oh, singular, yes.
Singular. That was
SBC.
A joke. Okay.
There's, how many years is that?
Oh,
there
all
it
right.
is.
Well, that's.
Yeah.
Hey, it just gets right back where it started from. It's like that song.
Yeah. I mean, GE looks a lot worse than that.
Oh. Well, I had a talk with Jeff.
Yes, you did.
Jeff
you did.
Do you know, there were people on Twitter saying, why don't you call Jeff Immata? Do you know how hard it is to do this stuff?
It is.
Well, look, I'm
they've
I'm
given.
A big
listen,
boy.
18. It's interesting what Diller's comments were. Actually, do we have that? I don't know. We can take a listen to what Diller sort of the way he viewed the deal.
Yeah.
Or maybe
the great escape for Time Warner. I mean, for AT&T. I mean, a remarkable thing. You know, it's the thing. You think about it. It's the power of monopoly. People say Discovery bought it. No, AT&T. Basically bought Discovery, AT&T shareholders.
Right.
But Discovery Management, the scrappy Mr. Zaslav, gets to operate it.
The scrappy Mr. Zaslav gets to operate it. That stock actually has had a rough week, as has our parent company, Comcast, as has Charter. Both of those down in part because they do believe there is going to be more flexible, more competitive AT&T in the wireless slash connectivity industry. And that's kind of behind some of the notes this morning, Jim. You've got, UBS talking about, listen, none of them seem to believe that they're going to necessarily get to that $20 billion free cash flow target that they set out there.
I think that's wise.
At AT&T.
That's good.
But the analysts who are coming out positive today on the stock don't seem to care that much for its part. Do we have that UBS? They talk about they're just going to be more competitive in the wireless industry.
Yeah,
that's what they kind of come back to. They say while cable continues to grow as a force in wireless and competition from Verizon and T-Mobile will ebb and flow, we believe AT&T will improve its positioning relative to expectations in the 5G era as it accelerates the rollout of its C-band. And, of course, they spend an enormous amount of money on that, on those airwaves. Over at New Street, they say, yeah, we don't believe the guidance, but it doesn't matter. We don't have the company growing free cash flow at a mid-single-digit range, and we don't have them generating $20 billion in free cash flow. We don't think it matters for two reasons. First, the market doesn't buy the guidance either. And second, even with a much lower free cash flow of, let's say, 15, they have plenty of cash to pay an $8.3 billion dividend while paying down debt. So we'll keep an eye on those shares, which, as you saw, of course, have been off this week. You've said your part.
I don't need to say anymore. I think people know that what I stand for is, hopefully, is understanding is that people who buy a stock in order to get fixed income and have been reassured that it's fine.
Right.
And the reassurance was bogus.
Yeah.
Now, David, if you put up a five-year chart of T-Mobile, I'm surprising your guys in the control room, but if you take a look at a chart of T-Mus, I think you're going to see what you want to see, which is this is the money if you had spent it on wireless rather than spend it on entertainment, T-Mobile's chart.
Right. No,
that's wireless spend.
And don't forget, of course, it was AT&T that helped put T-Mobile in business, in a sense.
I was there when it
happened. A much more competitive and more robust ability to offer a more robust wireless service.
But which would you rather be in?
Transfer of spectrum and money to the company when, of course, their attempts to acquire the company were shut down by the regulators. And that's right. Also part of the story for AT&T. They got shut down there when they did try to grow in wireless. And then they also had another year of review added on for when they tried to buy Time Warner to close the deal.
David, you were there when they were upping Time Warner. We were together at Delivering Alpha.
Yeah.
And we were somewhat aghast that they just came. But, you know, Jeff Bukas is what you want. Jeff Bukas was determined to get the best price for his shareholders, and he did.
And he did. And it's a good, yeah, it's a good way to deal with AT&T. Michael White also did a great job for DirecTV.
Yep.
All that said, I probably disagree with. I think the jury's still out on Stanky. You may have to take him down at some point. We'll see. All right, you won't.
I took Strauss Zelnick down at 13, put him on the high teens, doing a 13.
Yeah.
I took the former CEO of Walmart down after he said, "Why don't you check your store in Route 22?" You can come off the wall.
You had, which was that, Mike? Who did you have up
Lee.
On? Oh, you had Lee Scott.
He's a good man.
Yeah. It's a good history for that wall of shame. All right, coming up, the Treasury Department is urging the world to get on board with its global minimum corporate tax proposal. We're going to fill you in on that. Let's give you another look at futures as we get ready for an opening bell here to end a pretty volatile week. We'll be right back.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable, high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX,
Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Welcome back, Jim. I want to talk to you about Apple, in particular, of course, this Epic trial, which is moving into an important phase. Tim Cook going to, I believe, take stand. And Barry Diller having some comments that we may get ready for you if we can as well in terms of his view of that 30% take. I mean, there's a lot at stake here for the company, is there not?
Yeah. Look, the service revenue is largely based on app, but there are doing other service revenues. But, you know, like when you back up your pictures, it's very important. David, look, I was someone who helped run a company, thestreet.com. And the whole issue was, do we go into Apple and put our subscriptions on the App Store, or do we try to do it ourselves? David, if you try to do it yourself, which is what we don't talk about, you're going to lose. Put on the App Store, you let them take their cut, and you succeed. It's cut and dried. And it really bothers me endlessly when I hear what a hijacking Apple's doing when you just try to do it yourself. They give you the form. Is that worth 30%? I can tell you chapter and verse that it's worth more than that. And it's nice that they let you have 70%.
Really?
Yeah,
even though
otherwise,
you completely developed everything having to do with whatever app
I've developed
it is.
Apps. I've done everything I can to try to get subscription going. Unless you give them what they want. Look, David, 70% of something is better than 100% of nothing.
Correct. But should they have that much control?
Well,
is it, in a sense, almost?
What should they say? Should they say, listen, you know, Jim, we've been thinking about you, really like you. You know, we should only give you 50%. We're going to take 15%. Hey, listen, they could take 50%. I mean, now, obviously, that would be gouging, and I think someone else would come in. But I always felt the problem wasn't them. It was like, why can't I get that from Google? Why doesn't Amazon open a competitive store? They have a lot of stores. They opened Whole Foods. Why can't they open an app store? What is going on that no one else will go in against them? It's not that they have monopoly. It's just no one competes. I mean, David, this isn't like a railroad, a KSU, where there's no parallel track. Anybody can open an app store and beat them. If they just decide
they beat them, they don't have an installed base of billions of devices.
Why do they have an installed base? Because it's the best product in the world. Should they not be rewarded? If you prick them, do they not? No,
it's an interesting question, though. Should they be rewarded to that extent that they basically have control over whether you live or die?
David, it's not live or die,
so to speak, as a business.
I think that's hyperbole. Now, Barry Diller
you
called
telling
them criminals.
Me? I have
yeah, that means that yeah. some Barry wow. Diller called them criminals. And I just think that was there was hyperbole. He did not mean to do that in the sense.
How
of
do you know he didn't mean to do that? That's what
because
he just said.
He's Barry Diller. He's a smart guy. He's not really saying
speaks,
they should go to
he
jail.
He speaks his mind, though. And that's he's one of the few
one
people who is willing
why
to do
him.
That, which is why
one
he's a great
One reason why
interview.
I love him.
Yeah.
But I just think to call Tim Cook a criminal is probably ill-advised.
Did he call him a criminal or did he just say that it was criminal?
Oh, the institution's criminal.
Unfortunately, we haven't been able. We'll get it for you, but we haven't been able to cut
okay,
that.
The number of people in the audience who are watching who have developed an app that want to get attention is probably small.
Yes.
But there are 2 million people who have been able to blossom and have businesses because of the App Store.
If Apple loses this case, does the stock suffer?
Yes,
it does.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You got to take numbers down.
And do you like it here at 128, let's call it?
Yes. Because it's a very inexpensive stock on 2022 numbers, particularly if we're starting to get the numbers, say, that the evidence lab of UBS is saying, which is I've mentioned the evidence lab because I just kind of like this, like CSI.
Yeah.
Because what you're saying is that if there's strong demand, I'm not saying super cycle, that's the kiss of death.
Right.
But strong demand for 12, David, then the numbers are too low. And people will say, why didn't I buy Apple instead of listening to, say, Tony Saganegi, who often thinks that Apple's too high.
He does. He's a rigorous guy. He makes decent arguments. He hasn't been necessarily right over any longer period of time. Stock's up 60% over the last year, although it is still down 2% this year.
Do you want me to do, I mean, I study with a Jesuit professor.
Mm-hmm.
I can argue both things. It's much too expensive, Dave, but let me tell you why it's really cheap.
We can all do that. That's what we do here. All right, coming up on Tech Check, by the way, don't miss it. An exclusive with Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella.
It's a good get.
That is a good get.
John Furrier, congratulations.
Yes, 11 a.m. Eastern, of course. Mr. Nadella will be on that program. Coming up next, though, it's Cramer's Mad Dash. Don't go anywhere.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
All right, about 6.5 minutes before we get started with that final day of trading. You want to talk a lot about Applied Materials lately.
Well,
and you want to, again, why?
Largest semiconductor capital equipment. If we have a semiconductor shortage, you have to look to these companies to try to bust the shortage. Applied Materials did not give us hope that that's going to happen, but they did say the business is very, very strong. It looks like that they're not going to expand production of machines that make DRAMs, which is very good for Micron, MU, because it keeps supply a little tighter. But they did say that going to really burst production of NAND, of flash. In the end, David, what they did was a good quarter, and it's not been enough in semiconductor land to do a good quarter. You need to do a blowout quarter. I think we'll circle back to this company in a few weeks and buy it, if maybe even next week, because it was a good quarter. And right, the instant analysis is often wrong in the semiconductor world. I like what they had said.
But I feel so often when we stand here during this segment, we look at a stock that perhaps is not responding in a positive way to what you call positive news.
Right.
But then you look in the corner and say, well, it is up 136% or it's up 200% or it's up. These stocks have had such amazing moves.
Well, this is all about 2022 now.
Right.
And I thought Applied Materials gave you a very good outlook for 2022.
Okay.
I would say this was all because of how great 2021 they felt would be, and it was. And now the stock has been going down because people feel that 2022 could be weaker. But the company assured you that that's not going to be the case. And that's because of the general use of semiconductors in so many different things.
Okay.
And when we come back, I'm going to talk. There's a story about Boeing raising production of the 737 MAX. I thought they had too many 737 MAXs, so we have to spend some
time. We'll look at that as well. And we've got an opening bell for you just a few minutes from now. A lot more Squawk on the Street. We're coming right back.
I would listen to JC, your man, Jim Cramer, and what he's saying to try to create some awareness around the speculative nature. I guess the message to investors is, you know, use your horizon to your advantage. Do you really have a venture mentality? Because you need it to ride out volatility and to place bets on companies that in some sectors, 9 out of 10, will never work.
That was Morgan Stanley's Adam Jonas giving a thumbs up, of course, yesterday to Jim. Conversation that we've had many times.
Ever seen the work he does?
Yes, I have.
Did you watch the hour-long QuantumScape presentation he did?
I did not.
It's breathtaking.
Yeah.
It's breathtaking in its, do you understand that this is basically a crazy biotech, so to speak. Not crazy. A very, very speculative biotech.
We've made that point.
Yeah,
many
but
times.
He's an analyst who's willing to say that. He's saying, listen, QuantumScape is not GM. Please understand what you're taking on when you. And I don't mean to pick on QuantumScape.
No, I know we use it a lot. It's still got $11.5 billion value.
Well,
it did
have
a 52-week high of $132 a share. Well, so it is down dramatically highs. He is.
What he says to you basically is, if you want to take a long-term view, look, Kathy Wood does the same thing, but she doesn't. But she makes what I regard as outrageous projections, and he just says
she did on Tesla, and then they all came true.
Okay, so everything she does is right. Listen,
no, of course not, but she did get that one right, and it was a big one.
Well, that's true, but I think that people who rush to be in her fund. May so far have been disappointed.
And there is the opening bell, of course, at the New York Stock Exchange and at the NASDAQ. Here's a look at the real-time exchange right where we are. Remember when I used to say back at HQ?
We're going.
Haven't had to say that. We're going back to the NYSE, David. Yes, we will be back there.
And you can get back on the subway like the old days.
I took it twice yesterday. Actually, things are picking up.
They are?
Even Midtown yesterday. I saw men in suits.
It's better than seeing Robin in men in tights. I've got to tell you one thing, David. It's impossible to get a reservation at restaurants that you thought would be going begging.
No, it's
and tourists come to New York.
It's crazy, the most exciting.
I was down in the village.
From Midtown all the way down to the village for dinner.
People are in line to go to places. Tourists must come here. It is Roaring Twenties. It's the most exciting place on earth right now.
It is rocking. And we will be back at the NYC. And I had to take the subway home at 11:30 at night because I couldn't get a cab.
The F train.
And it took 9 minutes. So sometimes it works really well.
I do want people to know. I mean, I'm sorry to be such an evangelist for New York, but I can't recall when I've seen it this exciting. I went to a bar last night. I had to go look at it.
And you've got your places back open.
Oh, my God. You can't even get a reservation at one of my places. I mean, it's like I was worried that it would just be like me with a sandwich board on. Shopping at gyms.
All right,
none better.
Let's get back to stocks this morning. You know, let's finish the conversation that we were having about, which we've had many times, playing off of what Jonas was saying. We have made it clear that many of these are speculative companies, the ones that have come public through SPAC in particular.
We have
had projections on 26 revenues and are talking to multiples. And many of them, Jim, to be fair, have come down dramatically.
Yes.
Including, the one we go to so often, but even CCIV, QuantumScape, many of them have come down dramatically.
Oh, no.
Flying cars has come down dramatically.
The Lucid. It's been just a nightmare. Romeo Power.
Romeo Power. Yes, all of them have gotten hit.
And they don't come on as much.
It's going to be years. It's going to be years till they prove out. There's a look at Lucid, what will soon be called Lucid. But
Lucid, I've taken a ride. It's a fantastic car. But you know who's got good cars and trucks?
Ford.
Yeah. And that's not a SPAC.
No.
That's a company.
No.
Call that a company.
We're a day or two removed from the F-150 Lightning introduction.
Big Ford meeting soon, and they have to talk about commodity prices, and they have to talk about semiconductors. And those are both the bane of existence of much of America. Mm-hmm. Unless you're like a John Deere who can pass things on because they have high-quality equipment and very few competitors. Now, it's very interesting. Deere had an amazing quarter, David, and it's not reacting.
It's not reacting at all, right? Yeah.
No,
Those Deere numbers were out.
It was an amazing quarter. Construction was up.
Yep.
Now they very much need a stimulus bill. Construction, forestry was up. Just the regular. Oh my God! The stock that's up the most is Nvidia because of the 4-for-1.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
No.
It's up 3% Nvidia on that 4-for-1.
Your ATT's up today.
My ATT.
Well, you defended it.
Yeah, you try to give both sides. There is a possible. Listen, Comcast and Charter went down this week in part because there is a belief that AT&T will become a more nimble, flexible competitor and have a capital structure that will allow it to do so. That's why they went down. I mean, they went down for us. Maybe Comcast went down for other reasons because people are worried Brian's going to do something, which I don't believe he will.
But why do you always use the first names for moguls?
Brian Roberts.
Okay, thank you. You work for Brian.
The chairman, CEO, man.
No, I know that. I'm just saying that one of the things that I don't like about this industry is everyone needs scale.
Yeah.
And then everyone
Everyone
needs scale, and everyone just plays Barry. Okay?
Barry is. Now, we don't know who Bob is anymore because it could be Che Pagliaro. Yeah.
Now, we heard some interesting things about what Barry Diller said about Chapek disenfranchising Bob Iger. But then again, Bob Iger's not the CEO anymore.
No, Bob Iger is the chairman, and he is leaving the company at the end of the year. Going on to do, I'm sure, some very interesting things. Unclear as to what those will be. But, yeah, this is Bob Chapek's Disney now.
Right. Right.
I mean, Bob Iger built it into what it is today, largely, by the way, through successful acquisitions.
Well, David, let me ask you something.
Fox deal, many people would say they overpaid for. I don't want to get into an argument with him about it right now. But, they paid a lot there. That said, direct-to-consumer was everything.
But
the pivot that they did there was incredible. We'll never forget that August day. I don't remember when it was, when the ESPN numbers, and suddenly everybody was like, what's going to happen? And then they made it happen.
They put it out
years
there,
later.
For 100 million subs. And that was it. But, David, I want to talk about something that has been bothering me about Disney.
Okay.
Disney Plus is now the same place that ESPN was. In other words, if Disney Plus numbers don't come out great, then the stock goes down. The stock's
right.
Punished.
It's what the stock trades.
And that's ridiculous.
Point. Yeah.
And that's ridiculous. There are many different levers of Disney, and they're all coming back.
Right.
And to key on just Disney Plus is to ignore the lucrative nature of the theme parks, is to ignore what I regard as being entertainment that people will pay for. I'm not saying that movies will come back, but I am saying that if anybody can start doing a lot of production, mm-hmm. it's going to be them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that to judge Disney just on that is to have people who watch our show sell it. And that we don't want, because it's a very good franchise. Much better than the stock right now is indicating, because it's just hanging entirely on Disney Plus.
Yeah, that's the key metric that investors are focused on. But you could make an argument that you're paying a fairly hefty multiple. I mean, this company did add a lot of debt as well to its balance sheet, as it had to fight through the pandemic a year ago this time.
Well, actually, that was brilliant.
They get a lot of benefit.
Well, from both Disney and
multiple
Boeing.
The market's willing to reward it based on the expectations of continued significant growth at Disney Plus.
Disney and Boeing had excellent CFOs who realized what they needed to do was make sure they had enough money to get through the pandemic.
Right.
And they did that. And that is a feat. We don't congratulate CFOs for doing things because they are behind the scenes. But the idea that those two companies in the midst of the pandemic got their balance sheets. So
they did what they had to do in terms of raising money.
And I salute them.
We also talk about Boeing's successful bond offering. God, it may be a year ago already of that 25.
But now, and that
maybe
was
it's
the,
more now.
And that's when
billion.
It turned the corner.
That turned. It's interesting. You look back. That turned a lot of things when they were able to access $25 billion.
It was that Sunday night deal. I wish people understood the capital. You know, you have always been so good at the capital structure, David. So you knew that when Boeing did that deal Sunday night, that was going to be the beginning of the end of the nightmare of who was going to go under. It wasn't Carnival Cruise, and it wasn't Royal Caribbean. It was Boeing, and it was Disney.
Right,
and those companies came through with flying colors, particularly if Boeing really is expanding. And
well,
I'm trying to prove
you know
that.
What? It's a Reuters report citing sources that said Boeing said to discuss increasing 737 MAX output to as many as 42 planes per month by late 2022. So, Jim, that is via Reuters.
Well, I'm trying to confirm it.
And they're trying to reach a max output of 26 planes a month by the end of this year and then reach a target of 31 per month by March of 2022. So that may have Boeing up a bit, that headline, Jim.
Well, look, that's really important. Let me tell you why.
And that's Reuters, by the way, reporting.
Let me tell you why, because there are so many maxes on the tarmac. That's very good. I want to check that story more because it should be moving a lot of different stocks. That is certainly contrary to what I'd expect, and I don't necessarily want people to buy it on that, but that is very, very positive. Raytheon moving up a little, too. That's an impact. That would be amazing. That would be truly a sign, as what Barry Diller said. He has so many great things to say. Congratulations to Andrew, an amazing interview.
That was
because
a great
interview. He said that travel is going to boom. And David, he said, much to your chagrin, that business travel is going to come roaring back.
You sound like I don't want it to. I'm not saying that. I still continue to believe that there's a question mark as to whether business travel will ever equate what it had in 2019.
Well, Barry Diller crossed out your question mark and put an exclamation point.
Zoom is going to be easier. Say again?
He crossed out your question mark and put an exclamation
point. He says yes.
Now, he has
properties.
Now, he's
very definitive in what he believes.
Well, he has properties that would indicate whether...
He does, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't talk about what a good job Diller's done at IAC, which is... He's not an empire builder. You know, a lot of these places...
He's
a spinner. And he's created a great deal of value by incubating these companies and then sending them out into the world, which is worth noting. He also did have those comments. I think we've got them for you now on Apple. And you take a listen to what Diller had to say about, of course, this dispute right now between Apple and Epic that is in court and Tim Cook soon to testify.
Overcharged in a disgusting manner. I mean, you know, if you go through, let's call it the equivalent of an App Store credit card, the transmission cost is about 2%. That's what credit card companies cost for putting up that whole system and doing all that stuff. That's what they charge to the person, to the producer, let's say. Here, Apple says, oh no, 30%. 30%. I mean, it's criminal. Well, it's not criminal.
Let me ask you this, though.
It will be criminal.
Well, it's not, but it might be.
Devastating what he said.
Well, it's not his decision to make here, so you can have an opinion like everybody else.
Look, nope. there isn't anyone. When I said, listen, we should use put it on the App Store, the blowback, the people in the room were just aghast. Are you going to let that gouger take so much? And I keep coming back and saying 2 million people, 2 million little businesses have started on the App Store. And isn't that more important than behemoths who need to get, you know, it isn't like, David, that Epic has no profit.
No, not at all. Maker of Fortnite, they have a good amount of profit. Good and amount, Spotify yeah. as well is arguing with them about a lot of things
these
too, though.
Jim. Rich people, if
because
rich
maybe people they can, have the ability to do it and others don't.
Well, I just think that small jobs are what matter. Small, medium-sized businesses are who we should defend. And I will defend them, not these big companies who have to have even heftier EPS because they want to beat Wall Street numbers.
Okay.
And make huge amounts of money versus little guys who are trying to become something scrappy and good. See, David, that's the called the American way versus the kleptocracy that we've built in this country.
Oh, that's an interesting road that we're not going to go down right now.
Why not?
Because we got to get to Bob Pisani.
Okay. All right. Well, look, my Trotskyite roots, you know, the workers should own the means of production. I was the Spartacus workers during the heyday.
I know.
We had a good rap.
Yes, you did.
I was not a Leninist. I hated the Leninists.
I know you did. I know you did.
Thank you.
Let's get to Bob Pisani, though. We've got a S&P that's up 0.55%. Bob, interesting week, hasn't it?
Yeah, in fact, it's been a very important week, David. Volatile, but important. So we got a nice start to the day, 3-1, advancing the declining stocks. The story for the week on the macro front, on the investing front, growth's back. Boy, semis have had a great week. Good news from Applied Materials. Semiconductor business up nicely this week. Tech's up nicely. And cyclical slash value generally is down, although you see it's bounced into energy, banks, industrials are down for the week. But as you see, up a little bit here. This is an important week. Why is that? Because the Fed has indicated they have people out who want to start talking about the tapering. At least talking. And that's good enough for the market. Just that they're having the discussion that some people are talking about it, talking about, that's good enough. And look what's happened to the stock market this week. We're flat on the S&P. The 10-year yield is flat, 1.61. And the VIX has gone from, what, 19 to 20? That's 5%. That's not statistically significant, folks. What's happened in the market this week? Nothing. Nobody's freaked out because the Fed, some people in the Fed want to talk about tapering. That's very good news. So where are we right now? Remember, there's a bull-bear debate that always goes on. But the bear argument we've been talking about for weeks now is peak everything. This is it, folks. This is the peak reopening. This is the peak economic data. This is the peak earnings growth. It's peak everything. It's never going to get any better than this in our lifetime. And forget about more advances. So there's the argument. Here's the bull argument. The bull argument is the Fed's going to win. The Fed communication on tapering and rate hikes will be successful. Like an adult holding a child's hand. They're going to slowly guide them through this discussion. They're going to start gently tapering later this year, raise rates next year. Everyone's going to anticipate it and understand it. And there won't be a taper tantrum. That's the bull case. The other part of the bull case is Q2 and Q3 is going to be like the fourth quarter and the first quarter. Everyone's going to be wrong again. The numbers are going to be much higher. JP Morgan and came out this morning and they raised their numbers on exactly that theory. So you put that two together, you got a somewhat powerful bull case that's bolstered by what happened this week with the Federal Reserve. Look at the earnings situation. Deere raised the outlook again. Applied Materials, the retailers had tremendous numbers. Ross Stores had good numbers and disappointing guidance. But look, here's the takeaway from the retail reports this week. There's an awful lot of cash out there. The consumer is really flush. They're spending at home and they're going out. The credit card debt's low. There's lots of stimulus-driven spending out there, and there's a problem with a lack of people and a lack of goods out there right now. So overall, the retail picture looks very well. Here's the problem. David, just look at XRT. This is what I watch in the ETF space for retail. This is equal weighted of all the retailers in the U.S. It's up 200% since the bottom last year. Macy's is up 60% this year. Gap's up 60%. Kohl's is up 35%. There's huge moves up. So it's kind of tough. They've already anticipated this perfect retail environment that we've seen. And that's why you're getting this week very modest reactions to some of these big names that are reporting really, really great numbers. But, you know, we should have these problems. The market is, at this point, almost fully valued, at least for the retailers. We should have these problems, you know, David?
Yeah.
It's been a good week.
Yeah, I mean, and when you put that chart up, I think it does. It speaks volumes Bob, in terms of the moves that we've seen, especially in retail? Who would have thought a year ago that you would see the XRT up 130%? Bob, thank you. Bob Pisani.
Yeah, 200. Actually, it's 200% since the very bottom in March.
Wow.
It's rather remarkable.
It is, Jim. It is remarkable.
People thought everybody was going to go out of business. They didn't think that Moderna and Pfizer would be able to come up with a vaccine. They didn't operate on Operation Warp Speed, and they certainly didn't think that the money that went to the consumer would be immediately returned to them the moment that they opened, because there was a long period of time where the only thing that stayed open were these essentials.
Yep.
And it turned out that the others come back. I thought Kohl's, by the way, had a good quarter. The stock was down yesterday. I thought Ralph Lauren had a good quarter. The stock was down yesterday.
But to Bob's point, and the point we're making during the Mad Dash about Applied Materials, these stocks have run up enormously
as a result. Just because they've run up does not mean they can't continue.
Maybe they need to
go to what Mr. Moynihan said yesterday. There's just a huge amount of money in the sidelines, in accounts, that could conceivably go into the stock market.
Meaning a lot of savings.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge savings.
Beyond
balance
and above.
Sheet of the consumer is
right.
Fantastic.
Beyond and above what would typically be the case.
All right,
exactly, we've got some data out, manufacturing and services. Let's get over to Rick Santelli for that. Rick.
Hi, David. Yes, this is a preliminary read from Market, M-A-R-K-I-T, the PMI group. And the preliminary May read for the headline PMI for manufacturing, 61.5. That is a post-COVID high. If we look at what's going on in the service side, 70.1, post-COVID high. And not to break the trio of post-COVID highs, the composite also joins in at 68.1. Now, granted, these can change from preliminary to final, but at this point in time, they continue to point, as many indicators do, to a very hot, hot, hot reopening economy. Let's get to the charts. A one-week chart of 10s tells you quite a bit of information. Monday, we had the low of 160 yield. We're revisiting or getting very close to revisiting that today. It is not only the bottom of an important range, it's what many technicians will call the pivotal area, meaning any closes above 160 are treated a little more bullish, higher yields than those that are below that. And if you open the chart up to the very end of March, when we had our post-COVID high yield close at 174, you could see the performance since then has been mostly very tight with respect to consolidation near that upper level. There's been very little retracement. And if we look at what happened with Boons this week, a notable week. On this week, you see right in the middle of the chart that minus 07. That is the highest intraday level, the least negative that market has traded in 2 years. And finally, a year to date of the euro versus the dollar, which is the mere image of the dollar index. That currency is hovering at some of the best levels since early in the year. And do keep in mind, it closed last year at 122.16. We're getting very close. And if I was to put the dollar index up there, it would be the exact reverse, basically closing at some of the lowest levels since early in the year. Jim and David, back to you.
Thank you, Rick. Rick Santelli with the Bond Report. Well, coming up, we have a big show later this morning on Tech Check featuring exclusive interviews with Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella. And get this, Snap founder and CEO Evan Spiegel as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez, get a selfie with him.
I know. Get a selfie and make sure to watch. That's 11 a.m. Eastern when they start, but we're right back here.
When will you let me be on Tech Check?
I have nothing to do with Tech Check.
I don't care. I want to be
on
Tech Check.
Not on it either.
The guests that they have?
I want to be on everything.
I want to be a guest Tech Checker.
That's enough with the guests. Just stick to your lane.
All right.
There are the leaders on the S&P, in fact, led by Boeing, which we've talked about. Jim's going to have a little more on those Reuters reports, perhaps being able to temper it somewhat, but we'll save that for a moment. As you see, NVIDIA also up on that 4-for-1 split. We're right back with Stop Trading. Well, let's get to Stop Trading, and the aforementioned Boeing is the focus.
I will start by saying Boeing is owned by my charitable trust, and so therefore I am going to talk against my book. The company's kind of tempering that Reuters story, saying, look, They're making progress at Boeing, but they disagree with that there's a real timetable for 42 and are saying, look, for 42 super of the max. And they're just saying, listen, just understand that the customers have not yet committed to that. So people who are buying it aggressively, may find themselves gobsmacked.
Right. The Reuters story we're reporting, or we are relating to, is...
they're going to 42.
They're going to hit 42 by 2022 in terms of monthly production.
And Boeing has not said that, okay, and will not confirm that story.
But meanwhile, you still like the stock.
Very much so. But this is a really important element because we know that that plane is troubled. We don't know whether people want to buy it or not. And this story presumes that not only do they want to buy it, but there's strong demand for it. And that's not true.
Okay.
So let's be careful.
Got it.
Even though, again, I'm talking against my book, I don't think that the story reflects the circumspect nature of whether they're going to have a lot more orders.
What's on the show tonight?
Well, I had Cisco last night. Two nights ago.
Yeah.
So I have to have another Cisco. This one is the S by Wycon, which will be good to know about whether people are going to restaurants. And Mark McClain, SailPoint, David, people are impersonating other people and breaking into systems and hacking them and then asking for Bitcoin. Well, let's see. SailPoint can stop that? I want to know.
Can anybody really stop it?
What am I, some sort of oracle?
Yes.
Oracle exposure.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
I want you to have a fantastic weekend.
I'm going to try. I really am.
But you're still reeling from the first 15 minutes of the show.
We got off to a bit of a rocky start, but we're good. We're good. And you have a great weekend.
Yep, yeah, you too.
Okay.
You going to study this weekend like me?
Always. Always. I'm always studying.
Good.
I don't study at all. You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.